In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Wine is a unique gift of God that brings joy and gladness. We are all familiar with the Promised Land being described as a land flowing with milk and honey, but Moses also describes it as a land of grain and wine. Not only will God support them, not only will he sustain their bodies with food, but he will multiply their joy. For wine gladdens the heart. So not only does God want you to survive, but he wants you to enjoy his creation. Not only does he want you to get through the day, but he wants you to enjoy that day. Yes, God wants you to be happy. People usually say that when they are deciding something that is contrary to the word of God, as if happiness trumps every other command of God. And so we must tack on one little phrase. God wants you to be happy where you are. In addition to describing the wine that God would give to Israel, Moses also describes wine, or the lack of wine, as a curse for their disobedience. They will plant vineyards, but God will give the wine to foreigners, other nations. No joy, no happiness, because they turn away from God and did not find their joy in him, did not find their happiness in his commands. So wine equals joy, and a lack of wine equals no joy. In Jesus, wine takes on a new meaning. Recall how the evangelist John connects his gospel with the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God entered into his creation to renew it and restore it. So again, in John's gospel, we find a marriage, a husband and a wife, not the perfection of Adam and Eve, but a marriage that struggles underneath the fall. They have no wine. They have no joy. The curse hangs over their wedding. Sin infects marriages and destroys the great blessings of God. We need only look at our own marriages as jealousy, bitterness, and selfishness crowd out love, joy, and sacrifice. They needed wine. We need wine that only Christ can give, for only he can fill our hearts with joy. All things come through him. All things are restored through him. That is why his mother went to him. I doubt she was expecting a miracle. Remember, this is his first. But she believes that he is good. He has grown in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and she knows that he will make the right decision, whatever it may be. It will be for the good, not simply of a few, but for the good of all. So she goes to him in prayer. But his hour had not yet come, he says. Do not think that this refers to a miracle. But his hour had not yet come refers to the manifestation of his glory. Now, glory is not the same thing as power. A tyrant has a lot of power, but no glory. So for the evangelist, speaking about the hour of Jesus, and also speaking about the glory of Jesus, both are found in the cross of Jesus. So Mary asked him to do good, and Jesus heard this prayer as coming from faith. He read far more into her words than she expected. She asked simply for a one-time fix. He wanted to give an eternal fix. She asked for a little joy, but he wanted to give a joy that will have no end, a cup that overflows and mountains that drip with new wine. So he rebukes her because he cannot die right then and there. His hour had not yet come. He cannot yet pay for sin, crush the devil, endure the punishment, take away the curse, and be laid in a grave. For that is how new wine flows. He reads far more into her words because he knows the big picture. He will not simply slap a bandage on it and hope for the best. But he sees the curse, sin, and the devil stealing the wine of gladness. And he knows that only his cross can remedy it. Only his cross can restore the joy of salvation. That is the glory that is manifest through this miracle. Again, glory is not power. It points ahead to the results of his death. This miracle reveals the blessings of the cross, the culmination of his work as substitute and sacrifice. This miracle shows what "it is finished" means. It reveals the end of his work at the very beginning. It magnifies the grace, the love, the compassion, and yes, the power of Jesus. For those who have drank too much don't deserve more wine. Those who abuse his blessings don't deserve more blessings. Those who have sinned don't deserve a savior. And those who have made the world like this, with all of its troubles, don't deserve joy. But that is who he is. He wants to bless. He wants to give. He wants to love. He wants to bring all into his joy. And when Jesus turned water into wine, we glimpse this. For his hour will come. He will be lifted up for all to see. His cruciform glory will be made known to all. The water is wine. And it fills these stone jars. The stone jars are representative of the law. Large, unmovable. The law is now a joy, though, for the curse is removed. Jesus has changed water to wine. What burdened us is perfected by him, so the law is no longer a harsh taskmaster. For in Christ we receive the fulfillment of the law. In Christ its impossible demands are a delightful blessing. From his cross, the wine flows to gladden the heart of undeserving guests. Prophets and kings long to be where you are, to see what you see, to know what you know, to drink what you drink. They had only water, as it were. You have wine. They had the gospel in types and shadows and promises. You have the full reality. They lived under the old covenant, but you enjoy the new covenant, sealed in his blood and poured down your throat. So it is no surprise that Jesus instituted wine for his Holy Supper. Not grape juice, but wine, for wine gladdens the heart. And here wine achieves its ultimate purpose as it flows from his holy cross. It is his blood shed for you. Wine gladdens the heart for a time, but this blood wine gladdens the heart for eternity. It gives joy and happiness, peace and blessing. It cures all your ailments and takes away your pain. It is the pure gospel, his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has made everything better. He wants you to be happy where you are. And so he gives you his blood so that you might see your place in life, where you are right now, as a great blessing of God, so that you might enjoy each day, whether filled with great difficulty or great struggle. For his mercies are new every morning. We see in our world an epidemic nowadays, an epidemic of sadness, people searching for happiness and looking in all the wrong places, and thus only deepening their pain, their disappointment, their misery, and their grief. And pastors have failed their people. They are called to give Christ's joy, but they are more than willing to shutter their churches and to remove Christ's joy from his people, just so that health might be preserved. Other pastors are working hard at reversing Christ's miracle. They change blood into wine into water, forgiveness of sins, into a mere sign and symbol. Remember how our Lord said through Moses that a lack of wine is a curse. God is pouring out his curse on his people, for they have been disobedient, and they have found joy in the things of this world rather than in his holy cross. So what we need is Jesus. Jesus in the family, Jesus in the church, Jesus in the home, and yes, Jesus in the state. And this begins when we turn from our sins. We put our lips to the chalice and drink his blood and so receive the joy which he alone can give, and thus carry Jesus to the family, to the house, to the church, and yes, even carry Jesus into the state. We want happiness. So do not abstain from this supper, for to do so is to stay away from Jesus. Do not skip this cup, for to do so is to look for happiness apart from Jesus. Do not go through the motions, but rejoice that he has given you his blood. It is a most blessed, potent, and delightful gift given to man. If we truly believe this, then we'd come running to this divine service, and we'd wait for hours on end just to have our lips touch that cup. For no other drink is as refreshing. No other gift is as joyful. Every other task can wait. For nothing else is Jesus. So of all the great blessings God has given to this congregation, the greatest is the weekly offering of himself in this cup. It is not merely a supper, but it is Jesus. It is forgiveness. It is the gospel. And it is the beginning of everlasting joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.